let's get ready to do that. I'm excited about a three-week series that I want to begin this fall season with you called Abounding Faith. That's last week. That was a good preach, though. Do you have abounding faith up there? We'll take some time to get it. I enjoyed that. That character building series was a good series, but you should have the abounding faith message up there. Is it on the smart stick that I brought up to you? We're looking for it. Anyways, we're going to be starting 3 weeks with a series on abounding faith and looking at faith and refreshing our hearts with exactly what faith from God looks like. And so as we think about the faith that God puts into our hearts and puts into our lives, our prayer for your life this year is that you will have your best year yet. We're praying that as together we draw near to God, and as we as a church draw near to one another, that we, oh, hallelujah, that we will have our best year yet, and you will have your best year yet. And I want to begin talking about abounding faith. Abounding faith, first of all, conceives. Abounding faith conceives. Now, moms, you're going to understand this better than dads, but moms who've actually had the privilege of carrying a child, you'll understand what it's like to have that moment of conception. You'll understand that before the baby's born, you know that baby's there. And you know that baby's developing through that nine-month period. You'll feel things and you'll feel differently. And moms, you know that there's a labor that must come forth so that those new lives can come into the world. The faith that God gives to us is like that. There's a conception period. There's a period where God speaks something into our heart. And now we're going to begin today as we talk about the fact that abounding faith conceives, looking at the Bible definition of faith. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And I'm going to read it now, and I want you to look at it on the screen as I read it. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Now, I want you to notice some things here about this text, and we're going to leave this text on the screen, and in a moment, I'm going to have you stand, and we're going to read it together, and here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about, as a Christ follower, the things that God has already placed in your heart. I want you to think about the things that God has already spoken into your heart. The things that he wants you to believe him for, because God has chosen to make his will known and shown on the earth through you. God has chosen to use the church, the body of Christ, to display his works and to carry his message and to show forth his wonders. So I don't want you to think, as we look at these 3 weeks on faith, that it conceives, it believes, and it receives. I don't want you to think about faith as some concept out there, but I want you to ask yourself, what is God speaking to me? What is God speaking to my heart? And I want you to notice something. You don't have it yet. It's something you're hoping for. It's the confidence that you're hoping for. And it's something that you don't see yet. It says it's the assurance that you can't yet see. So would you stand with me, please? And as you're thinking about those things that God has placed in your heart, as we're talking about faith conceives, I want you to, as we read this together now, let the word of God wash over your thinking as we're going to talk about this conception of faith. Let's read it together. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Would you pray with me, please? Father, as we look at this Bible definition of faith today, abounding faith conceives. Spirit of the living God, I'm asking you to glorify Jesus in these 3 weeks. Spirit of the living God, I'm asking you to remind each one of us about the things that you've placed in our hearts, the things that you've placed in our lives. And God, if we don't have some things, I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus to speak to your children. Because this is what walking with God is all about. It's about walking in faith. And Lord, I do pray. I pray for these people that they will have their best year yet. I'm asking for the glory of God for this church that we'll have our best year yet. And we're going to trust you for it. And we're going to believe for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, please be seated. Abounding faith, first of all, gives us hope. I like this graphic because, you know, there are things about faith that you need to understand if you're going to hear that definition that we read about. Abounding faith gives us hope. This graphic looks like a really dry place, doesn't it? It looks like a place where maybe there's no water. And yet you see, coming out of this dry place, you see a shoot sprouting up. I want you to think about the seed of faith that God gives you. I want you to think about the conception of faith. You know, in order for a seed to spring forth, it needs to go into the ground and it needs to die. So the very thing that God is speaking to you, the very thing that God is speaking to us as a church, or those very things, those dreams, if you were, that come from God, those dreams actually first have to die. We have to give them to him. And then God springs them up. Abounding faith gives us hope. Would you please say hope? Faith is the confidence that what we hope for. You see, faith isn't something you have. That's human achievement. Human achievement are the things that we can do by the works of our own hands, if you will. But faith is something that we're hoping for. When God gives us something, he puts it in our heart, and then we have to trust him for it. It's something that gives us hope. So as we think about this abounding faith that gives us hope, I want to use that word hope and talk about where this faith, first of all, comes from. This faith comes from the letter H. It comes from heaven. It's not something you think up. It's not something that you dream up. It's not something that you think, God, I need to do this. No, but the faith that God gives is actually a gift that comes from heaven. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you. And so this abounding faith, as we think about faith conceiving in our hearts, it comes, first of all, from heaven. Because it comes from heaven and because it's God who placed it there, secondly, this abounding faith helps us to overcome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. As you walk in this world, as you walk in this life, there's a warfare. There is a battle. There is an enemy who wants to steal and kill and destroy everything that God has planned and purposed for your life. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more. And abounding faith that comes from heaven enables you to overcome when you find yourself in the challenge. And we'll talk about that in a moment. And I love this graphic, you see, because overcoming is not something we do alone in the Christian life. Overcoming is not something that you just do on a solo island all by yourself. But overcoming involves brothers and sisters. Overcoming involves a body of Christ. And I love this. You've got a picture of three that have made it and one who's being lifted up. And I'll tell you what God's calling us to do in ministry. He's calling us to lift up the Lord, but to lift one another up in Jesus as well. If you believe that, would you say amen this morning? Abounding faith gives us hope. It comes from heaven. It enables us to overcome. And thirdly, the letter P, it helps us to persevere. We can rejoice to when. Would you please say when? Circle that in your notes, please. It doesn't say if. Not if. But we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. Friend, please, if you're going through a hardship, if you're going through a trial, if you're going through a desert place, if you're in a journey and you're wondering, God, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've asked people to fast, I've come forward, I've been anointed with oil. You know, there was someone last week as we came forward for prayer. They came forward and they were anointed with oil. And they had been anointed with oil for things various times. But as I shared that story about my dad, you know, and what happened to him and his receiving their sight, this individual experienced a healing, and they called the office to say, hey, you know what? I was healed last week. Faith is something that helps us to persevere. Abounding faith that gives us hope. And if you're walking in a hard place, a desert place, you know what? Just keep on trusting. Keep on hoping. Keep on believing. Don't ever stop. Don't ever quit, because this hope will not lead to disappointment. Abounding faith, most importantly, is eternal. It's eternal. Has anybody ever been to the mountains? Has anybody ever gotten used to going to the mountains? I went out last night. Julius Kenyamanyara, who is the director of Village of Hope in Mwanza, former Sterehi home that some of you I know have been to. I went out with him and his pastor, Pastor Ahmed, and we went out to Blaze Pizza. Anybody been to Blaze Pizza? Plug for Blaze Pizza. I like sometimes taking people there, guests, because at Blaze Pizza, you make the pizza yourself. I mean, you don't have to get your hands dirty, but you tell them exactly what to put on it. So sometimes I take people over to Blaze Pizza, and it's reasonably priced, and I take them, and they make it themselves. And so before we sit down and give thanks, I say to them, and I said this to Julius and Pastor Ahmed, I said, if you don't like your pizza tonight, it's not my fault. You made it. Blaze Pizza, it's by Walmart. Plug for Blaze. But the first time I went to the mountains, it was like, oh, wow. And I have to tell you, in my 19 years of living here in ministering in Alberta, I just have to tell you, every time I go to the mountains, I'm struck with that same awe. I'm just struck with the majesty of God. And it reminds me of the time that my cousin, before he came to know the Lord, he was working in Calgary. And the first time he went into the mountains, he phoned us. And I mean, my mom was a Christian at that time, and I don't think I even knew the Lord, or maybe I did. I can't quite remember, because I came to know the Lord when I was 18. But he said this. He said, when you see these mountains, you have to believe that there's a God. And since then, he's come to know Jesus. And I mean, there are those things that I hope you're like me. I hope even if you were born and raised in Alberta, I hope if you've been to the mountains a million times, that every time you go there, you go, wow, and you're just kind of awed. And I asked Pastor Ahmed, I said, have you been to the mountains? Because they were at the conference in Calgary, and then Julius took them to they went together to Banff. And he said, well, I learned about them in school in geography in Africa. Oh, but he said, there's nothing like being to them. And as awesome as the starry host is, as awesome as the mountains are, as awesome as the overwhelming ocean tide is, as you stand there and look out at the vastness of our God, listen to these words of Moses. Lord, through all the generations, you've been our home. This is what you need to understand, friends, about abounding faith that brings hope. It's eternal. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from beginning to end, you are God. And he's faithful in your life, friends. First of all, abounding faith, as we talk about conceiving it, it brings us hope. Secondly, abounding faith makes things happen. Would everybody please say yes? It will actually happen. The things that God has placed in your heart, they're going to happen. The dreams that God has given to you, if you rise up as a woman of God, if you rise up as a man of God, these things will happen. They're going to take place. The Bible says every promise of God is written. Did you hear me? Promise of God? Every promise of God is written in this book for you, and the yes and the amen is spoken to you through Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen. Abounding faith makes things happen. I mean, the things that we're doing even in our church right now, the upgrade that we're doing with our technical media, the cameras that are coming, how many of you have noticed at the main entrance we have the foundation laid for our awning? Have you seen that? Well, right now the structure has been designed. The structure is being powder coated, and within 2 or at least 3 weeks, that main structure will be up. The lighting that we put at the front of the church, all the things that we're doing physically. It's because we believe we're on a journey that God is calling us to. And these things that God has placed in your heart individually, and the things that God is calling us to corporately, you know what it's all about? First of all, it's all about agreeing with God's plan for our lives. There's a power in the place of agreement. There's a power in coming together and even getting together as a group of people and agreeing together for the will of God. Jesus said this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, listen, not willy-nilly anything you ask, but anything you ask that God has spoken into your heart, anything you ask that God has placed there, if you agree concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you, for where two or three gather as my followers, I am there among them. Abounding faith, it makes things happen when we agree with God's plan for our lives. Secondly, abounding faith that makes things happen, it's all about ascending up God's pathway for our lives. Now, has anyone ever went for a hike? Has anybody here ever climbed a mountain? Yeah, wow. Has anyone here ever went for a bicycle ride? You know, yesterday? No, I've ridden bicycles a little bit. But yesterday, I went to the end of the earth. I had an invitation from a brother in our congregation this person rides bicycle. And so I had an invitation from this brother. Would you like to go bicycle riding on Saturday? I said, okay. And I said, but you need to get me a bike because my bike that I brought from, I won't say when or how long ago for $89 would not do for the bicycle ride. I said, you got to find me a bike. And so I didn't have bike clothes, but I dressed in kind of the bikiest clothes I could bring. And I went, what are we talking? We're talking about the yes, getting it done. It's about ascending up God's pathway for our lives. And so this brother this brother's a biker. I don't mean a biker, you know. Like they will bike 100 kilometers, no problem. So for my first bicycle ride ever, your pastor rode 20 kilometers yesterday. Yeah. Thank you. And at the end of my bicycle ride, I said to my brother, I said, are you going to wheel me onto the platform tomorrow? Abounding faith, listen, that gets stuff done. It's about ascending up. Say up. It's about ascending up God's pathway. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just take place. Why are we having these things today? Why are we asking you to look at the gift inventory in your life and get involved in ministry? Because we need you. God has placed you here. God has gifted you. We need you to plug in. We need you to use your gift. We need you so that we can do as a church what God is calling us to do. And what God is calling us to do won't happen unless individually and corporately we ascend up God's pathway for our lives. And it's going to take some discipline. You see, because human plans are different than God's plans. Much different than God's plans. So trust in the Lord with all your heart about these things that God has placed in your heart, that God wants to say yes to, that God wants to do through you. Don't depend on your own understanding. The Bible says that our human understanding, God's understanding is so different. It's as different as high as the heavens are from the earth. So much higher is God's understanding than ours. And so seek his will in everything you do, and he will show you which path to take. And so at the beginning of this calendar year, right here at Spa for Life, we're so excited to say to you, let's rise up, let's get on board, let's get on with the path that God has placed on our hearts and on our lives for the greater glory of God. Because the abounding faith that makes things happen, that God says yes to, it agrees with God's plan, it ascends up God's pathway, and thirdly, and most importantly, it is all about acquiring God's purpose for our lives. Acquiring God's purpose. Now, King James Version says this. I think you can finish it for me. Work out your own salvation with, fear and trembling. Many people know that verse. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I have to tell you, if that's what the Bible said, I'd quit. Like if the Bible simply said, Doug, you need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, if it was all up to me, I'd just say, God, I can't. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not holy enough. But I'm grateful that that's not what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. There it is. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God is working in you. Christ lives in you, Christian. He lives in you by the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. For God is working in you, look, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. On the 23rd of September, when we have that pipeline service, wait, I'll tell you what's going to happen. People are going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because this is the promise of God. People are going to be refilled with the Holy Spirit, and we need the promise and the person and the power of the Holy Spirit to acquire all that God is calling us to do. If you believe that, say amen. And so I'll see you on the 23rd of September at the pipeline because we need to press into God and receive what he has for us. Abounding faith, it gives us hope. It makes things happen. Thirdly, abounding faith provides, I like this, a hush in life. One of the things that is my privilege in the summertime is when I get to go home to visit my family in Ontario, I get to go to our camp. And our camp is extremely isolated. It's a camp where you can fish and not do much else. You can't get any computer hookup, there's no self, nothing. You're just kind of detached. And so one of the privileges I have is sometimes at night just lying out on a starry night and looking up, not just with my naked eye, into the heavens, like seeing the Milky Way. I mean, it's incredible just watching as shooting stars come across and seeing satellites and just being in God's creation. Shh, hush. It gives us assurance. It gives us assurance. Abounding faith provides a hush in life. That word hush, it means this: to still, to silence, to make quiet, to repress the noise or clamor of. Now, how is it possible in a world where we're so connected? How is it possible in a world of noise and clutter? How is it possible to connect even with people? Do you know what I do when I go out for lunch with someone? Has anyone ever been to a restaurant and you've seen two people kind of like maybe eating together, but they're both talking to their phones? Have you ever seen that? It's crazy. Like, you should just eat alone and with your phone. So when I have an appointment with another human being, and believe me, I'm thankful for cell phones and the connectivity that we have. I think we can do a lot of good things with that. But how do you ever get out of that to talk to a human? This is what I do. I take my cell phone out and I say, before we have lunch, I'm going to turn my cell phone off so that we can talk. And I literally turn it off. And most often, do you know what the other person does? They turn it off too. And that's awesome because then we can talk. That's just on the human level. How can you ever possibly connect with God if you never disconnect? How can you ever get this hush? How can you ever get this silence if we're just caught up in the busyness and in the noise and in the clutter and in the clamor of life? How will we ever draw near to God? Would you please say with me the last word that I have up on the screen there? The last one. Are you ready? Here we go. Shh. Be still and know that I am God. I'm so glad you're here. This is a place, even though there's many of us, to hush. This is a place where you can be still and hear God. This is a place where you can worship the Lord. This is a place where you hear the word of God go forward. But I want to tell you, friends, if we're going to know the abounding faith of God in our lives today, we've got to receive the hush of God, or we won't have assurance. We'll just be frittered and fraught. We'll just be running from this place to that place. We'll just never have a moment in time where we ever even feel the peace of God. We need to make time in life to find a solitary place. And I love this about the fall season. I'm able to look at you as your pastor, as I'm asking myself, and ask you this question, Christian, how's your solitary place? How's your solitary place with God so you can receive that assurance? How's your solitary place where you can just go shh and disconnect from everything else? Disconnect. Very early in the morning, one day, before daybreak. Let me set you this story in its context. Jesus had been preaching and teaching, and then he went to Peter's house, Andrew's and Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law was in bed, and she was sick. And so she was healed. Jesus just raised her up, and she made some food for them, and they ate. And then a whole bunch of people from the town came, and all night long, Jesus ministered to them, and he healed them. And then they went to sleep. But very early in the morning, before daybreak, Jesus got up. And he went to an isolated place to pray. Listen, this is not about guilt tripping. This is not about saying, I pray an hour and you pray a half an hour. No. This is about God's call on our lives, friends. Can I ask you, Christian, how's your solitary place? And I love the fall because this is the time where we just say this, I'm going to make more time for solitary place. I'm going to make more time to shh. I'm going to make more time to hush so I can hear from God. We need to make time in life to find a solitary place because it's here. It's here, friends, that we will find the strength to walk in faith. Now, this scripture you know well as well. It's out of Isaiah. But those who trust in the Lord, can I set it in context? Do you know what it says? Even young people will get tired and grow weary. So it's not about, I'm getting older now and I've served the Lord. No, it's not about whether we're old or whether we're young. It's whether about we're plugged in. Has anybody ever seen the store? It's in our city, but I think they're changing the names now. Has anybody ever seen a 7-Eleven store? Every time you see 7-Eleven, I want you to think what? I want you to think 11-7. Everybody say it, 11-7. We were praying about possibly starting an all-night prayer meeting. For a couple of years. And then finally, a couple of years ago, I started it. And I had this fear that, we'd go from 11 p.m. until 7 a.m., and by 2 or 3 a.m., it would be me and a couple of pastors on the front pew, snoring. But actually, what happened is we have a community of over 80 people that are coming and populating this 11-7 prayer meeting. Those who wait upon those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. Has anybody ever seen an eagle? Here's what I've discovered when I watch eagles. I don't see them flap a lot. They just kind of soar. They soar and they catch an updraft and they get a new perspective as they're going higher. If there's storm clouds, they can actually soar above the storm clouds and be renewed. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You'll see, if you didn't pick up a connection last week, you can pick up a spa connection. It has all of our month on there, or look on our webpage, that we've got an 11-7 coming the end of this month. I want to encourage you, come for 1 hour, come for two, come and let God just move through us. We pray about different things every hour, and we believe this. We believe that if we set our hearts to God in prayer, individually and corporately, for what he's calling us to do, we believe that we're going to see great things. In fact, we even believe that we're going to see a revival. We believe it. It's here we find strength to walk in faith. Fourthly, abounding faith enables us to hear from God. Now, I've seen it sometimes where people actually have headphones, wireless headphones, And they have, I don't know what they have on there. Maybe their playlist or something, but they just have this. I think some, these are cool. Sometimes on an airplane, there's nothing. They're silence, right? It's silent headphones. You put them on and it's silent. You can't hear anything. But abounding faith enables us to hear from God about the things we cannot see. The things we cannot see. So as we think about the conception of faith today, as we think about what it is that God is calling out of your heart and your life, what it is that God has spoken into your heart today, as we think about that, and we wrap up this series or this beginning of the series on the conception of faith, I want to say a few things about hearing from God. First of all, believing is receiving. You know, the world says, you show me and then I'll believe it. That's not what God says. God says this: we live by believing and not by seeing. We walk by faith and not by sight. So understand that the thing that God is calling you to, the thing that God is asking you to trust him for, is something you are believing for, something that you have not yet seen. Believing is receiving. Secondly, beholding is rewarding. Beholding is rewarding. And it is impossible to please God without faith. We're talking about faith. We can't please him without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists. And look, he rewards those who sincerely seek him. I want you to think about this. If you're a believer, if you're someone who has open access to the throne room of heaven, if you're someone who can come and behold the Lord at any time, and I mean, you're going to be rewarded. It says he rewards those who sincerely seek him. And if you say, well, you know what, I don't feel God. I don't feel God at work in my life. I don't know where God is. What does that say? It says more about me than it says about God. God said that if I behold him, he will reward me. And that's what we want to help you with by doing all of these efforts that we're making for you and your family. Thirdly, becoming is rejoicing. Becoming is rejoicing. You love him, even though you have never seen him. Now, in the Bible, there's a couple of occasions where people saw Jesus. And I've met in my whole Christian experience, I would say a couple of people. I've had people tell me they've seen Jesus, but I don't know if I believe them. But I've met a couple of people that I believe really Jesus literally appeared to them. But that's not the norm. The norm is this: you love him even though you have never seen him. The norm is walking in faith. The norm is trusting God. The norm is believing and receiving his word. And when you become like him, you love him even though you've never seen him, though you do not see him now, you trust him. You know what happens when we love the Lord and when we trust the Lord? It enables us to rejoice. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. You know what I've discovered as a pastor and as a Christian? Glorious, inexpressible joy does not come to the lives of people based upon how their life is going. Glorious, inexpressible joy comes to people who are becoming more and more like Jesus. And fourthly, behaving is reflecting. Behaving is reflecting. Look at what it says here in Romans 12 and 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God's will is for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Behaving is reflecting. And that's on your sheet, but it's not up there for some reason. The world will want to squeeze you into its mold. The world will want to make you think like them. But when we behave like Jesus in a world that doesn't know God, do you know what happens? Has anyone ever went sun tanning in the sun? What happens if you go sun tanning in the sun? Well, you could burn, yes. But you get a suntan. And you can't burn in the S-O-N. When you behave like Christ, you reflect the glory of Jesus. I'd like us to look at that first slide that we looked at again in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 as we consider the conception of abounding faith. Let's bring that slide up. Faith is the confidence. And we're going to stand, please. And let's, we can't. It's gone. Okay, stand. And I'm going to read it. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today for abounding faith. I want to thank you today for the conception of faith. And I want to thank you today, Lord, for what you have placed individually into these hearts and into these lives. Now, here's what I'd like to ask you to do. If you're here this morning and you're leading in our children's ministry, or you're leading one of our life groups, I just want you to come and stand up here. If you're here and you're working in our youth ministry or our young adult ministry, I want you to come and I want you to stand up here. Just come as I'm talking. If you're here and you're serving as an usher, as a greeter, as somebody on our welcome team, I want you to come and I want you to stand right here. I want you to pray over you. If you're serving in any area of ministry in the congregation, you're serving and leading, I want you to come and I want you to stand here and I want to pray over you at the end. You're serving in the choir. You're serving in the media teams. I want you to come, and I want to stand, and I want to pray over you today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And as people are coming, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for abounding faith that conceives. I want to thank you that abounding faith gives us hope, Lord. It gives us hope. I want to thank you, Lord, that abounding faith makes things happen. I want to thank you, Lord, that abounding faith provides a hush in life. We get the shh. And I want to thank you, Lord, that abounding faith enables us to hear from God. And Lord, these are just a few of our ministers that are here at the front today. I know that there's more. But God, I pray that as we begin in this fall season, I pray for everybody right now that's in the house. I'm asking, Lord, that as we draw near to you in faith, believing that we will have our best year yet. I'm asking it in the name of Jesus. I'm praying in the name of Jesus, Father, that as we as ministers, as we press forward, Lord, as we press forward in what you're calling us to do, that we as a church, we would have our best year yet, Lord, for your glory, for your honor, for your name's sake, Lord. And I'm praying, Father, for everybody here that's in the house this morning that calls this church home, God, that you'll take the talent that you've placed in their heart and that we'll find that place either of receiving right now or of giving and serving in ministry, Lord, that God, you may receive much glory. And we thank you, Lord, for this first Sunday after summer season as we kick off the fall time of ministry. God, we're praying that you would let your rich grace and blessing flow through our lives. And we thank you for the food that's been prepared. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,